Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And you tuned in, frankly, because you don't really know what we're going to talk about today. Just like sometimes I leave myself in the dark for the sheer fun and excitement of it. Because today we are very pleased to bring you the head of the Oklahoma Realtors. So the Panhandle State brings us Jessica Hickok. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So give our listeners a tiny bit of background on how you came into real estate, what you do, any of those little tiny tidbits to help them know a little background before you start chatting.
Sure. I am actually running the association and have been in association management for 5 years. Prior to that, I was actually a real estate broker. So I have now seen all angles of this industry, and I couldn't love it more. So that's kind of the basics of the background.
That's perfect. So when you get to oversee, or I don't know if you really want to say manage, because it's kind of impossible to manage realtors, but how many realtors do you have in the Oklahoma Realtors as of the end of 2017 when we're chatting?
Just a little over 11,000 in the state.
Okay. So with 11,000 realtors, there have got to be some trends that you see when it comes to professionalism and complaints that are filed and the things that the great realtors never get the complaint filed about them for. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about this, because I think most realtors are afraid. They don't want to turn each other in for behavior that is completely in violation, because they're frankly a bunch of passive aggressive sweethearts who don't want to file against the bad seeds. And then our consumer friends don't necessarily understand that when they run into a bad realtor, what they need to do. So I'd love for you to give us some input from your standpoint about what you see, what kind of complaints are filed, and maybe give some tips to realtors and consumers who feel like they need to expose the bad seeds.
Okay, sure. Well, one of the association benefits that all associations, whether be local or state, one thing that we offer is professional standards administration. So every member of the realtor organization agrees to abide by the code of ethics, as we both know. And in that code of ethics, it is administered by either the local or the state association. And in Oklahoma, we actually manage the professional standards administration for the whole state. So all of the local associations. So any kind of complaints that are filed, whether it be from the public or from realtors themselves or anyone, can be filed as either an ethics complaint or an arbitration request. So specifically to ethics complaints, a realtor can file a complaint so that it can be handled by the association and a panel of your peers to see if there was a violation of the code of ethics.
So if you're a normal person listening to this, I want to digest for you really briefly the fact that in any state, the state can issue a real estate license. But if somebody calls themselves a realtor, capital R, two syllables, please, and they call themselves a realtor, I'd like to pull their realtor from them, frankly, but it's going to have that little trademark R at the top. Those folks have voluntarily agreed to abide by the code of ethics. And in fact, you can read a copy on nar.realtor, which has a public-facing site as well as a member site, and understand your best realtors know what's in the code of ethics. I'm afraid that many realtors kind of look at it as like the Apple terms of service, and it rolls up and says, hey, do you agree? And they click agree because they generally feel like they live a good life. But the code of ethics is more than just being a decent human. There's some really basic tenets to how you're supposed to conduct yourself with the public and what you're supposed to do right and do well that can lead us to some trouble. So I wanted to give that little bit of a tidbit. And also, what you also might not know if you're a normal person, or actually if you're a realtor who's just out there selling houses and not involved in association stuff, there's multiple levels of our realtor association life. So Jessica mentions the local association. And that's generally where the member starts. It's where you belong to your multiple listing service. It's where you receive a lot of your benefits for education and a lot of your professionalism pieces, a lot of advocacy work happens there. Then you have your state association, which is basically a conglomeration of all the local associations, plus some oversight and the voice of the state realtors to the highest level, which is the National Association of Realtors. In the industry, we call that NAR. If you call it NAR, you're being a little bit tacky, apparently. I didn't know how bad that was till I got in trouble for saying NAR. You're supposed to say NAR, but anyway, it's a discussion. So if you're a consumer and you hear us talking about realtor associations, you got to know there's three levels. So if Jessica on the state level sees a complaint, it's probably a step bigger than what you would see if it's just two people yammering amongst themselves on a local level over a commission deal.
Sure. Now, the code of ethics is actually broken into three different parts. You've got your duties to the public, your duties to your customers and clients, and then duties realtor to realtor. So that is why either the public or the realtor can file a complaint.
And should. Let's add that in. They should file a complaint because, you know, there's not every realtor is created equal. And we've established that before on the podcast. And there are some amazing, awesome people. And then there are some that, frankly, should not be realtors. But until somebody takes the time to turn them in, there's not really a good way to get them out of the realtor world where they can stop hurting consumers, hurting each other. So tell us what kind of complaints come in when we're talking code of ethics or professionalism. What are people bringing up as a primary complaint?
I think the biggest complaint that we have had most recently is whether or not it's Article 12, whether or not a realtor has displayed a true and accurate picture in advertising.
Ooh.
In this day and age, we see so much Instagram photos or over photoshopped photos in listings online. And a lot of times the public will go and see that house based off on what it looks like. And then they find out it's not really like that.
So tell me what would be over photoshopping, because you should lift out shadows and maybe somebody covers up one dead spot in the front yard. I don't think that would be over photoshopping, but tell me an example.
If you're removing power lines from the backyard,
ooh,
that's kind of a bad thing.
You mean like high tension lines, like the stuff that Aaron Brockovich was all upset about?
You got it. Yep, exactly that kind of thing.
Well, you know, Jessica, frankly, if they're good enough to take those out of a house picture, they probably shouldn't be in real estate. They should be doing graphic work somewhere anyway.
Touche.
Tell me how that harms a consumer, because I think that in a world where everybody lives with a digital phone, it's easy for people to say, oh, well, that's just editing and give excuses. So tell me, as a leader of 11,000 realtors, why is it bad to over Photoshop? Give me the consumer's response to that.
Well, the biggest thing is being caught off guard and being surprised. A lot of people are buying their homes these days online. They're moving into the area and they may be moving in from, you know, East or West Coast into the Midwest, and they may not even see the house until they get into it and they've already closed. That is happening more and more often. So that's kind of a problem if they're thinking, hey, I didn't know that the power lines was really in my backyard.
Power lines can change the value of a house. It's a really big deal. It's not like a room that you thought was gold, but is really yellow.
Sure, exactly. So, I mean, the biggest thing is that realtors and the public want realtors to raise the bar of professionalism. And the only way that you can raise that bar is to turn these people in that are violating your code of ethics.
Okay, so one argument that I hear back from realtors, in the code of ethics, it says you won't slander and basically talk smack about your other realtor competitors. And so they use that as their excuse for not turning somebody in. So talk to me about that from your standpoint.
Well, you're actually doing worse if you're going online and saying, oh, how is so-and-so getting away with this? Or they run a terrible business because they lie about their photoshopped pictures. You're actually violating that code of ethics or that one article if you are doing that.
So they'd rather go online and complain than do something about it. Kind of sounds like people in politics, right? They want to complain about the elected officials, but don't bother to go vote.
You got that.
Yes. Okay. So we see people giving a bad picture of their listings or of properties, and it actually hurts people financially. So what else do you see? Maybe that involves realtor-to-realtor conduct, not so much realtor to the public.
Exaggeration, misrepresentation, concealment of pertinent facts. What is that, Article 2?
I don't know the articles by heart.
Facts that are com- That's okay. But if they're revealing facts or confidential information, you know, sometimes you see a lot via back and forth text message say, hey, you know, you're going to need to offer 250 on that house in order to, they'll take 250. You know, the sellers will take 250.
So you're actually seeing agents give away their clients' negotiating position in text message, trying to get something on the table.
We have seen that.
So do the sellers know this is going on, or do you only find out about it when the other realtor turns them in?
It's usually when the other realtor turns them in.
Okay, this is totally horrifying to me, because if I think about myself, if I'm buying a house or selling a house, how would you ever know that you've picked a realtor who's playing that game behind your back? Because you don't have a way to read their text unless you're really spying on them, in which case you're way smarter than we are. But holy smokes, that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. You know, I'm not sure how to fix that other than to keep educating our members about, you never know who you're talking to. You have to remain upright and you have to remain forthright in everything that you do. It doesn't matter if you're talking to one of your peers who's another realtor, because they will sell you out.
Well, and so they should. If you're doing something right that's that egregiously wrong, they should sell you out.
And yes, I would agree.
So then let me ask you this question, because you've been a real estate purchaser in the not too distant past. So when you were in the consumer shoes, what questions did you ask in deciding which realtor you'd use? Because you obviously have access to lots and lots of them. So what would you use as a defining characteristic that a consumer could use and say, I'm going to follow Jessica to find a great realtor, or other realtors could say, that's what I got to be if I want to earn the business of somebody who knows all of us?
Well, I will tell you, that is hard when you have to choose among 11,000 realtors of who's going to help you purchase your home. And what I did was I just chose the person that was in leadership at the next one in leadership that was in the city that I was buying. And that's who I used. Now, that's a little bit different than what most people would do when choosing a realtor. But when you are looking for a realtor, you need to ask questions before you agree to work with them. And once you start asking the questions about how many houses have they sold, how experienced are they, you know, how many deals do they have going on right now, you're going to get an idea of where you rank in priority if they have so much going on that they're not going to be able to deal with your issues. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. Always ask questions of your realtor when you go to list your home or when you go to buy your home. Anytime you go to work with one, just ask them questions.
You mentioned that when you went to find a realtor, you looked to your volunteer leadership lineup. Now, understanding that the volunteer leaders in our profession are going to be probably busier than the average person because they're investing hours of their life in a volunteer capacity so that they can make the profession better. Do you think that consumers, like regular random people, let's say your friends on Facebook say, hey, Jessica, how do I find a realtor? Would you recommend that they look to the volunteer leadership of the association as well? And if you think they should, why?
I actually do. Let me just stand corrected in saying, just because they are busy doesn't mean that they are going to not take care of you. It's just a question that you can ask, you know, of your realtor. But if you go to a leader of the volunteer association and you ask them to help you out, chances are they have a vested interest in the realtor organization in general and the realtor trademark itself. They are committed to the code of ethics. They are committed to giving back to their association, and they are usually committed to a higher level of professionalism. Now, that's not to say the people that are not volunteering for the association are not professional. They are. It's just that a lot of times your volunteer association has a lot more interest in making sure that the code of ethics is abided by.
Well, it does mean, though, if you're a realtor who's awesome and you're not volunteering and you just got your feelings hurt because Jessica said that, you need to take yourself down to the association and volunteer because, frankly, we need some new voices and new faces in volunteer life. And I'd love to have ways to rank members and especially tell somebody who they could use in a different marketplace. And that's just one of the ways you can start filtering. When you have this many realtors out there, I mean, one out of every 287 Americans is a realtor. That's a lot of realtors from whom to select. And so it's a great way to know that you've got somebody who's less likely to cause trouble. Not that it's perfect, but they're less likely to be the ones on the receiving end of trouble.
And certainly, I don't mean to offend anyone. I would love to have more volunteer leadership, but at the same time, people are out there working.
No, we offend them. We'll offend the bad ones. And we offend the ones who are hiding from volunteer life because somebody's got to step on these toes. I don't think it's reasonable for you to say, don't you tell me that all 11,000 of your members are created equal, because they're not. But it doesn't mean that the ones who aren't at the tippy top of their game couldn't get there if they had a desire to serve and a desire to get educated and a desire to do a better job. We got to call it what it is. I have had enough in our realtor world where we act like all of our almost 1.3 million realtors are doing a great job, because they're not. It doesn't mean that some of them couldn't get better, but it's on them to get better. It's not on the association to pretend that everything is rainbows and sunshine and unicorns and glitter. So with that being said, knowing that you do have members who could do better, what would you say to a midline realtor who's just kind of treading water? They don't have any impact in the association. They're not selling a ton of houses, but you have resources for them. What should a realtor do that wants to get better and get more active and get more educated about the entire picture of real estate?
You know, I would say the cliche would be find a mentor, but in not being cliche, I would say find inspiration. Find inspiration to be better. And that may be in finding another realtor mentor, but find inspiration to be better. And whether that's with hanging with a small group that is a business networking group, or if that means that you are giving back to your association or giving back to your community, you get to know people in every volunteer situation you are.
Yes.
So if you're doing, if you are doing something with the association, you're doing something back in your community, or like I said, with a business networking group, find inspiration, and that will always help you be better.
Okay. So then as we wrap up our episode, tell me where you, Jessica, where do you find your inspiration?
You know, I've got a great support system at home, and that certainly feels good to go home to. And that is my biggest inspiration in raising two teenage boys and just doing good in the world so that they can learn to do good in the world.
See, now there you go. So if you're listening to this, we want you to take away that if you're not at the top of your real estate game, there's resources to get better. You got to reach out to the staff members in your state and local association, and they'll tell you. And I love this whole find inspiration piece. I think we'll title your episode Finding Inspiration, because there is inspiration to be found in those who don't do things well, because it inspires some people to not be that person. But the ones that aren't doing it well, we're asking you to step it up. It is far overdue that we stop selling consumers short, because it has damaged the entire profession. But it's never too late to get better, and we can all do it right now, because you look at your kids. And if you're not doing better, what are you teaching them, right?
Exactly.
All right, Jessica. So if anybody's listening to this and they're an Oklahoma realtor and they want to find out what it means to be affiliated with their state because they don't understand any of that, how can they find you?
They can email me directly, jmh@okrealtors.com.
And if you're not an Oklahoma realtor, you can always follow Jessica on social media. But we do recommend that if you're a realtor, reach out to your state executives, because I promise you, they would love nothing more than to hear from their members, because that's what helps all of us that are volunteering to find out how we can better serve each other, is by hearing from your voices. So with that being said, Jessica, thank you for coming on the show and having a nice little chat with us about code of ethics and behavior, because it absolutely matters right now.
Great. And thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to you.
And if you're listening to this and you've got your own viewpoint to share, it doesn't matter what kind of crazy it is. It could be a story, could be something good, bad, ugly, or unexpected. And if you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a normal human being who has bought and sold real estate, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. And until then, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.